short exercise as we start our sermon this morning. The title of the sermon is Hitting the Wall. Okay, that'll be the title, and we'll go and look at it in a minute. But our introductory thought is about praise. Praising the Lord. Relating to God by faith. Here's a couple of verses. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Do any of you remember his holiness? Have you ever experienced holiness? It is unforgettable when you experience holiness, not happiness. We know about happiness, but holiness. It makes an impression on you. And when you remember it, you relate to God by faith in praise. Awake up my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp, that's the musical instruments. I myself will wake early. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Psalm 61:8, so will I sing praise unto your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. I mean, imagine singing and praising God have something to do in helping me perform my vows. Isn't that good? Praise. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Maybe you've never done that before. I know that some of us do it. We lift up our hands. Maybe you've never done it before. But maybe that's something you could think about. Maybe God would say, hey, praise me by lifting up your hands. Not in self-consciousness, but just in God-consciousness. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Anybody know about marrow? Bone marrow that produces those blood platelets and is an essential element of our health. As I am satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Anybody know about that word? And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. I remember just cutting loose. How about it? Have you ever done that and just cutting loose and having a good time and having what you call a hallelujah breakdown? You just get down into it. You say, man, I'm casting off all the extra. All my sin, it's over, done. Disappointment, discouragement, mood, negativity, attitude, and just leaving it all behind and getting into it and praising God. Okay, that's introductory. So what I want you to do is all stand up with me. Come on, you're afraid now, I know you are. Yeah, I'm not asking you to dance, oh no. But just say to your neighbor, do you know what he's talking about? Praise the Lord. Do you know what he's talking about? Okay, before you are seated, turn to Isaiah 38, two verses there, and I'll have you sit down. Verse 1, 38, verse 1, in those days, you could read it with me, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. In Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Okay, you may be seated. That would not be a good day. The prophet comes, set your house in order, call your attorney, pay your bills, fill out your will, double check, make sure your house is in order, for you shall die. You're done. That's it. Finished. Kaput. Finito. Okay? Think about it. I was in Miami yesterday preaching Friday night in Miami with Pastor Ken Fires. What a beautiful service. The Spirit moved. What a beautiful time. It was so good. And then the day before in West Palm with Pastor Brunty, Pastor Foster has passed on with Mr. Kochenauer, also pillars of the church. And Pastor Jeff and Kathy Brunty, beautiful people, amazing ministries down there that share the message, evangelizing, praying, seeking God. Riding in the van with Pastor Jeff Brunty is a joy. Good time. Good time. Beautiful time. And a lot to be thankful for. Pastor, I came home last night, and Pastor Schiavelli and I talked on the phone, and he brought it to my attention, something. Reading an old Crossroads magazine published by The Bible Speaks in Lenox, 1980, and say there it's recorded that under Pastor Stevens' leadership, Bible College, all of us young guys back then, doing Bible studies. And I remember going to Plainville, Waterville, Holyoke, Amherst, Saugus, you know, the whole area there, region, remember? And Pastor Schiavelli said that there were 121 Bible studies every week. Yeah. We're only pastors doing Bible studies? No. Anybody that could move. Anybody that could breathe. We got in cars and we went out to coffee shops and homes, and we just opened the Bible and we started to preach. Listen to this statement. Vance Havner said, a preacher who is too big for a little crowd would be too little for a big crowd. Let's say that together. A preacher who is too big for a little crowd in a pizza shop would be too small or little for a big crowd. Yeah. That's the way we grew up. That's the way we live. Isn't that beautiful? And we'll get to it in a minute. But I think it's worthwhile saying. Pastor Muhib is up in New Jersey, right? What town is that up there? Salem, in a little pizza shop or something. Or whatever. Street corner. A dump. Now, what do I mean? I was in Florida, there are those big cruise ships, remember? You know, you've seen them on TV. Big cruise ships, and then there's a little life raft. I'd rather be with Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to be. And if it's the life raft, so be it. If Jesus is there, that's my choice, right? And I know I'm trying to say something. Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. Yeah. That's life for us. Christ. Yesterday in Miami, and we had a carload from Bible College here drive down. They just thought it was a few hours. 19 hours later, when they first got to Florida, they go, "We're in Florida." It's a long state. Okay. And they were precious students that were down. They're still there. They're heading back. Coming back. Many times we are in life, and God has a plan for you and I to face the wall. This is verse 2 of Isaiah 38. When he heard about him, about his death, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. And I want to just think about that for this morning. What does it mean? I have nowhere to go. I have nowhere to go. I turn my face toward the wall. And there's only one person there. And he prayed to the Lord. Have you ever, like we can say, as we say in English, we hit the wall. But we're not physically hitting the wall here. But we are hitting the wall by coming to the end of our options. No options. I hit the wall in my marriage. I have no option, no way out. I'm not smart enough. I don't love enough. I'm not kind enough. I'm not able enough. I'm not generous enough. I'm not skillful enough. I just don't have what it takes. But I can face the wall and pray to God. Raising kids. Anybody here face the wall or hit the wall and prayed to God? No way. I'm in a situation. There's no way out. But I have God. That's something important for us. We have God. And that's what we'll talk about today from James chapter 1. But let's read it one more time. Then Hezekiah, when the prophet said, "You shall die, put your house in order," he turned his face toward the wall. That's good that you do that. You don't turn the TV on. You don't look out the window. You don't go on a vacation. You don't go buy a six-pack of beer. You don't go to the casino in New Jersey or Maryland. You don't go get stoned with marijuana. You don't go do something stupid. You turn toward the wall and you pray to God, right? That's what you do. You pray to God. Who is God? We don't pray to God because we don't know how awesome he is. But you are learning it, and we are learning it, and we never grow out of it. We never get beyond this. This happens again and again. I mean, anybody here been facing the wall so many times you know it like the back of your hand? Huh? Anybody here been to the end? You been to the bottom? Anybody here been just totally out of it? No options, nothing, but I've got God that I can go to, right? Okay. So then verse 2, toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And he said, "Remember now, Lord, I beseech thee, I walk before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept. I mean, these prayers. I was with somebody yesterday. We went soul winning at a Walmart in Miami. And, you know, life is the same everywhere. You know that? Life is the same everywhere. And you meet all kinds of people, and we're all basically the same. But this brother said to me, "I'm sick of the those prayers, those cheap little Christian prayers that I pray every, you know, people say, pray for me. And I say, I'm sick of those prayers. They don't mean anything. That's what he said. It was like, wow, say, repeat that. Tell me, talk to me. Because, yeah, you know those prayers, and we just pray, I prayed for you, or I prayed. It's like, you know, come on, really? He said, I'm sick of it. I like that prayer. Prayer. You know, I said, I know what you're saying. Prayer where you kind of lose yourself in the prayer. Prayer where it doesn't matter. You're not going anywhere, doing anything. You face the wall. There's no answer. There's only God. We're coming before God. And God keeps us there. And in that prayer, there's like the Holy Spirit groaning and moving. And you feel you got a connection with the living Almighty God. Wow. That's amazing. A Christian who has a prayer life where he can move a mountain, a Christian that has found Christ in a real way, then when he's told you're going to die, he knows where to go. I don't want to die right now. I'm not ready. I'm not finished. Lord. Lord. You know, one of those. Kind. I'm digging in. God. You know what I mean? Okay, what happened? Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go tell Hezekiah. God spoke to him through the prophet. Thou say, Lord, the God of David, your father, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I will add your days 15 years. Thank you. Got it on camp. Hey, honey, cancel the lawyer appointment. And throw the garage, all the junk can go anywhere. We're not getting the house in order. No, the honey to-do list, you might as well trash it. Not doing it. I'm going to live 15 more years. Huh? Hey! That good? Okay. I don't know, I just had a good time right here, just this past. Awesome, okay. Go down to James chapter 1, and we are reading the first 8 verses. We're going to go through these, not in a hurry, but we'll move along here. Very beautiful portion, verse 1. James, the servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy. That's what we did in the beginning of our message. We talked about praising God. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Have you ever gotten in a car with a bunch of brothers and sisters and going off on a mission, and there's joy as you go out? Have you ever just for some reason walked out to the car in the morning on a Monday morning? You walked out to the car to go to work, and it's like just joy came. Most of you said, nope, never happened. That'd be quite miraculous. No, that never happened. You know, I was somewhere getting ready to preach, and honestly, this wave of joy just came to my heart. And I just knew it would be a blessing to be together with the saints, and we would have joy in the ministry. When you have trials, it says in verse 2, various King James's temptations, it's better translated outward trials. Inward temptations are not of God. By the way, that's James 1, 12 and 13. God does not tempt you, but God does try you. Do you know the difference? Huh? God does not tempt you, but he tries you. Here's the difference. When the devil tempts you, he lures you to your demise. When God tries you, he tests you with the intention of approving you, not to hurt you, but to say, see, you're very capable. See, I am with you in it. See, my grace is sufficient. It'd be like somebody tempting you to eat poison so you get hurt or die, versus testing a new car. I go to test a new car with the intention of approving of the car. When God tries you, it's to approve, not to hurt you, but to say, see, my grace is sufficient. See, you're living by faith, and I am with you in it, and I'm supplying you with everything you need. It's a trial of faith, 1 Peter 1, 7. Very precious when you live by faith. When I think we all have our personal histories, and there are times in your faith when you just are very much tested. Yeah, you just say, I can't go. I'm not going to go on. But then you say, why not? If God is God, why don't I go on and see what God will do? When I get the bad news, I hit the wall, I'm going to count it joy. When I come to a time in my family and I hit the wall, I have nowhere to turn but God. When I'm in church life, I have nowhere to turn but God. That's a very good thing. I got God who can show up on my behalf. God who can give me the grace that I need. God that will help me in my trials. God that will take me through. Like Abraham was tested and he had to give his son. And in giving his son, he found that God was there with him. And he didn't ask for his son after all. But then Abraham, it says that he was as good as dead. Isaac was as good as dead because God, Abraham, in his heart, decided. I read a story about a missionary who had a beautiful wife, and they were on the mission field, and she got sick. They were newly married, and it was very, she was beautiful. He loved her more than anything. He loved her. And now she had a fever of 105, and it looks like she's going to die. And he's there praying, and he decides to give her up to God. And he couldn't, he loved her so much that he couldn't. Like he just couldn't. Yeah, like, she's mine. Everything I hope for, this woman is amazing. I love her. And God said, 1 John 5:21. Now, this is interesting. Bible verses can come from the Holy Spirit to your heart. And the Lord said, 1 John 5:21 to this missionary. And it says, keep yourselves from idols. And the Lord, and the missionary knew, he said, my wife is an idol for me. And he said, I have to give her up. So he gave her up to God in his heart, and the Holy Spirit filled him. And he knew. He had the freedom. He had the joy. It was a trial, but God dealt with him in his trial, gave him the word he needed, and guided him in his counsel. And then God healed his wife a week later, something like this. He gave her up. Thank you very much. That's what I needed. That was a trial of his faith. And this is what it's saying. Count it joy when these things happen in our lives. Verse 1. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Patience is needed in life. Patience is needed. Problems may not be solved right away. Some may not be solved in our lifetime. Patience. God has patience with the human race. 6,000 years of craziness. All this time, and it says the mystery of God is patience in Revelation chapter 1. When you are patient with people, when you are patient in life, when you can wait upon God and be patient. Another little sentence. Some people pray, but they can't wait on God. Some people can talk a lot, but we can't wait on God. Some, we solve problems, but we cannot wait on God. What if I work on solving a problem that God doesn't want it to be solved? God is working in the hearts of people. God is testing the hearts of men. What about Christ who came here and he was so patient and he was watching and observing and recognizing things but not changing things apart from those amazing and many miracles. But in a sense, he didn't change Roman Empire, Jewish nation in that way. No, like there were a lot of things that were not done, but Christ came and he was manifested. That's maybe enough. Manifestation. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, complete work, entire work. May patience as a work with all the pieces come together. There's a wholeness there. Patience in this life. I kind of think of the little dory, little boat in the sea. And if Christ is there, then it's okay. And it really is true. When life resonates through Christ in your heart, it's okay. What I have is okay. It's even more than that. It's a whole mentality, and patience is part of it. How many times did we go to Bible college, guys, like the older guys, we go to the Bible college and not know exactly what is going on, but God teaching us patience. How many times in raising a family, I don't know, I don't have a handle on the whole thing, but God is teaching me patience. How about at work where you have trouble with people and God is teaching you patience? And on it goes. Patience is an amazing attribute, a characteristic of our new life. And let patience have her perfect work. When we were raising our teenagers, who would be my wife and I would talk a little bit, and laying in bed next to each other and thinking about our family. And I said, you know, we might lose a battle, but we can't lose the war. And she said, what do you mean? What's the war? I said, when they're 22 years old, we sit at the same table in the faith, understanding each other and loving each other and caring for each other. Maybe it will be. Maybe the years will be out later. I don't know if that will ever happen. I don't know. But that's what we want to win. But until then, we might get beat up. We may lose some battles. It may not go the way we want. We may be facing no solution except the wall, where there's nothing there but only God saying in our hearts, trust in me. And then we don't know if we're going to get answers. We do not know, but we have nowhere to turn. And that's how we live this life. It's a new kind of living. That's verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing. Why do you say lacking? Why does it say lacking? Because Christ is there. And in a sense, he's everything. You know, if we put 10 shares here, 10 believers, and two are gone, we could sit there, there's eight of us, and we sit there, we say, oh, we miss the two brothers that used to be here. And I say, yeah, we miss them. But wait a minute. Wait a minute, who is here? They said, well, there's eight of us. I go, wait a minute. Well, who else is here? Jesus is here. Well, we lack two. Yeah, but there's another way of looking at it. That's not the point. Point is Jesus is here, right? He is enough. If Christ, if two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. Let's get occupied with him. And yeah, the brother, those two brothers, maybe two others come, or maybe they come back. I don't know. I can't sit around. Wait, that is not my problem to solve. I don't have that problem to solve. I have an occupation in another word here in the list is the word wisdom. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, what does that mean? There's wisdom below and wisdom above. There is, listen, there is an intelligence that is not of us. There is a way of thinking that is from above. There is a way of thinking which is beyond human reason and human sentiment. There is a Holy Spirit mind, and it says in the scripture, that wisdom is not the wisdom of men. For if they had had the wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:6. They didn't have it. Well, weren't they the smart people? Yeah, Pontius Pilate, Caiaphas. These guys got to the top. Guys, they were guys that knew how to do it. They were at the top. They were smart. They were very capable. Yeah. But they didn't have what we're talking about today. No. In our country, you know what's needed? Us to have the wisdom from above. Right? What does the wisdom say? Pray for your leaders. What does it say? Don't be too big that you cannot teach a small group. Don't be so high and mighty that you have to have some platform. But learn to be a servant and gain the wisdom that comes from above. And then when you hit the wall, you'll know what to do. I hit the wall, I'm going to die. I have no answer for that. But I can go to God in prayer. In the Soviet Union, we would, you know, under cover of night, in the taxi flying through the countryside with the headlights out, you know, and go to a house where there'd be an all-day and all-night prayer meeting with Baptists and other Christians underground. And I went to one of those, and it was 8 hours of prayer, and I listened to the Russian prayers, And I heard prayer, and it was a beautiful time. The Spirit speaking to the brothers and sisters, and they prayed for the church in the Soviet communist times. What are we going to do when we hit the wall? We've got our prayer. This week in the chapel here and on our campus, 1 week of prayer. We meet in the morning for 2 hours, Pastor, is that it? 9 to 10 in the morning, 2 to 3 in the afternoon, and then at night, 7 to 8:30 at night every day this week, except Wednesday night will be not the night one, but that's it. Yeah, prayer, amazing. God can help us, answer us. Verse 5. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Let him ask for wisdom, but let him ask in faith, verse 6, nothing wavering. Have you ever heard somebody say they had an alcohol problem and they come and they say, you know, I tried this. I gave this 2 years. They didn't work. What's the point here? Look at verse 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Yeah. Didn't work. Did you cut a deal, put in the contract, you know, 2 years, you know, test, you know, test, God, test, 2 years. It's not, it doesn't happen, it's over, I'm done, I'm finished. Lord is, you know, I don't care about your deals. Can you give me your heart and trust me? And ask of me wisdom. And when you get wisdom, you'll realize there's no deals. It's another awesome thing. It's greater than any deal. It's a gift of grace. It's a life of faith. It's a wisdom that is from above. You know? It's awesome. Have you ever tried to jump out of a helicopter part way? Huh? Or gone off, jumped in, off, or got into halfway? Getting married halfway? How about it? Sounds great to me. Not really. Well, isn't that what living with your girlfriend is? Yeah, living with your girlfriend is married halfway. Why, what a deal. Wake up, he's gone after 5 years. You do it again, another 5 years. Before long, you're 40 years old. Nothing. You got nothing. No commitment, no family, no children. You're 45, no boyfriend anymore. It's over, it's gone. What a great deal. Think about it. You can do it if you want. It's your call. But we can't do it with God. Nothing wavering. Where you're in or not. You get in it, it's awesome. It's this chapter. It just rolls along. When I get the word I'm going to die, I turn to the wall and I go, I got no options. But I know there is a way. I know there is a God who speaks from heaven. I know there is a God that cares for me. And I count it joy when I hit the wall. Because that's where I'm going to get the real meat, you know. Ah, you know, steel. I get the content. I was in Miami and the ocean is lapping on the beach, and I thought of this: the noise in the background, the fluff, the noise. You know, like just. But where's the meat? Where's Theodore Roosevelt? Like one of these tough guys. President Theodore Roosevelt, this tough guy who just saw life in the 19th century mentality, like a Winston Churchill, where there's some, you know, something there, some content. Well, I don't know actually about him in that sense, but I know about the Apostle Paul. I know about Timothy. I know about Isaiah, and I know about Hezekiah, and I know about King David when he said, even if my family is not so, their covenant with God is sure. Translated, my son tried to kill me, my other son, and that son killed one of my sons, and that son raped one of his half-sisters, and my family's a disaster, and I'm not happy about it, and I go to bed every night with kind of a thing in my heart. I'm heartbroken. At the same time, my God is not like other gods. My God is so great. My God, even if my family is not so, yet the covenant with God is sure. That he promised that my seed would sit on the throne even forever and ever. And this he spoke of the Messiah. Thank you for honoring me, God. That was David, 2 Samuel 23. verses 1 to 5. Wow, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Well, how do you get the wisdom? Let me read this to you here. It says, R.A. Torrey counseled a man who approached him. His name was Dr. Congdon, complaining he could get nothing out of his Bible study. The scripture seems dry as dust. I remember that in Bible college, going to Bible college, reading the Bible, not understanding it, just read it anyway. I thought, well, you know, I'm not too bright anyway, so I just keep reading it. I don't know. Dry as dust. Read it again. Dry as dust. Okay. Please tell me, he said to R.A. Torrey, how to study it so that it will mean something to me. Dr. Torrey said, read it. I do read it. He said, read it some more. How? Take some book and read it 12 times a day for a month. What book could I read that many times a day and still keep my job? Try 2 Peter, he said. My wife and I read 2 Peter 3 or 4 times in the morning, 2 or 3 times at noon, 2 or 3 times at dinner. Soon I was talking 2 Peter to everyone I met. It seemed as though the stars in the heavens were singing the story of 2 Peter. I read 2 Peter on my knees, marking passages, teardrops mingled with the crayon colors. I said to my wife, see how I have ruined this part of my Bible. Yes, she said, but as the pages have been getting black, your life has been getting white. What does it say here? Verse 5. If you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you. If you keep reading the Bible, keep reading it and reading it, it'll speak to you. You'll get wisdom. This little part and that little part. And this is how we walk now in this new life. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed, like in Miami. There is no substance there. There is no clear sound. It's just chatter. It's just talking. And there's nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. Have you ever met people? They don't know where they hear the bad news and they don't know what to do. They got bad news and their life is a disaster and they talk about it day and night. My life is ruined. My life is a disaster, whatever. It's like it's all just like the ocean lapping on the beach. There's nothing. But no, you're not like that. You got something. You count it joy when you hit the wall. You have faith. You're gaining wisdom. There's substance happening. Remember Camden, who passed to be with the Lord recently? And I remember that brother, Ray Kurowski, Eric Handel, who's here with us, I think. Yep, Pastor Eric and B. And many people amongst us, the precious, precious people, the Hadley family. There's so many that have been through deep waters, the Karens, many people. And you find this, verse 6. They ask in faith, nothing wavering. Lord, though you slay me, I will trust you. Job said it, remember? Don't make a deal with God. Just say, I'm there, Lord. I'm there. I'm there. Verse 6. And then 7. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. When he wavers and is emotional and startled and afraid and hurt and wounded, and he won't gain anything from the Lord. No capacity, no hearing, no waiting on God, no patience with God, no long periods of waiting on God. No, he's too emotional, too upset, and running one way to the other. But no, this cannot be. You are called to concentrating on the word and hearing it and waiting on God, getting that. Remember the story, the missionaries losing his beautiful new wife. They were married a short time and he loved her. And then the Lord said, she's an idol. And there you go. He got it and it changed. I'm not saying things will change. I don't know. But I am saying I get it from God. The grace is sufficient. Three times, a thorn in the side. Three times I asked God, and then God answered, my grace is sufficient. Okay, that's it. Okay. Well, lastly, verse 8, the double-minded man is unstable in all his relationships with people. He is unstable. All the jobs he has, the places he lives, he is unstable. All the things he does, all the people he talks to, he is unstable. All his hobbies, all his extra time, recreation, he is unstable. All the good times when he is young, middle-aged, and old, he is unstable. You don't know what you're going to get, how he's going to decide, what decisions he's going to make, because he doesn't have that. When there's a cruise liner, he goes, I want to go to the cruise liner. We say, Jesus is in the little dinghy over here. I want the cruise liner. I want the cruise liner. Okay? I want that. He's lacking. He's lacking something. He's missing something that he needs. Guys, it's not going to get easier in our life. If we are unstable at this period, we'll be unstable in this one and this one. We got to get the important thing. Hezekiah got it. He turned to the wall. And he knew what to do, and he went to the right place, and he got an answer from God. And same with you and me, by God's grace. The unstable people that cause troubles in churches, and they go off unstable, they go to the next place sometimes, not always, but it might be they're going to be unstable there, and unstable here. Unstable in that marriage, and then unstable in that one, and unstable, and so on, in all our ways. Boy, well, that's something to think about. Amen. Would you pray with me? So, Lord, thank you for this text of Scripture. We got it. I think we got it from by your Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. We see the continuity there, that list, and we know the value of every word. Lord, we see it. And it's what many in this room have attained. They've got it. They are amazing believers, and we thank you, Lord. And in our country, that we would go on beyond just being a Christian nominally, but be born again, and then also get that gravitas, that content that anchors us in our hearts. And then in the new perception of life, in the mind of wisdom, we'll be stable and rooted, grounded, rock solid. And when it happens, we know what to do, where to go, and how to think. Thank you, Lord. Maybe someone here today has not been believed in Jesus Christ. We are preaching today with the intention of you believing in him and hearing him speak to your heart. And in your heart say, yes, I believe. I maybe academically I don't know it all, but in my heart I believe you are saying to me you are real and to trust in you. And I decide to do that today. To trust in you as I am, and you bring about that whatever the results are, That's your business. I trust in you to save me. Take my sins away and give me this gift of eternal life. So say to Jesus, I believe in you. That's all. That's all you have to do. I believe in you. That's all. And then for my sake, raise your hand. Anyone here, put up your hand. You're saying to Jesus, yes, I believe. For my sake and for the usher's sake, they'll give you a booklet. Anyone? Yes to Jesus. Anyone? Amen.